Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cushat. I'm your co-host today. I'm sitting in the studio with Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle.
So one of the longest standing debates is this one, morning person or night person, right?
Right.
We always hear people talk about this, and it's a very passionate argument and very divided groups. However, well, you and I are both morning people, I would say. And in my family, we have some that claim both. We have actually half and half. But you would say that we all can be morning people.
We all can be morning people because I don't think there's anything inherent with how we're born that makes us, you know, it's like not like God said, okay, morning person, night person, and kind of even it out. I think it may be a preference for sure. And I honestly don't care if somebody wants to be a night person, I'm not going to argue with them. I mean, whatever serves them and the life they're trying to create is fine. But a couple of years ago, I did an episode on how to engineer your morning routine.
Okay.
Because I really believe in rituals, but in the right kind of rituals. So I think we rituals are inescapable in life, and they either serve us or they don't serve us. And so a morning ritual can be something that really sets us up for a productive day if we really think through it intentionally. And then I had a bunch of people write in and said, oh, that sounds awesome, but I'm not a morning person. Or more interestingly to me, there were some people that said, do you think it's possible to become or to learn to become a morning person? Because I can see the advantage of doing that. And I can see that staying up late isn't really serving kind of the purpose that I want to accomplish. And I did some more research on morning people. And as it turns out, morning people do have a little bit of edge over night people.
Well, don't you think our culture even orients itself around the morning hours?
I mean, definitely.
Offices open at a certain time. And I mean, there's far more going on in the morning hours versus, you know, 12 midnight to 3 a.m.
Exactly.
In the night hours.
My dad used to tell me nothing good happens after 10 p.m.
Well, good, because I've been asleep for about an hour at that point.
And I used to tell my girls that too. But yeah, I think it's possible to become a morning person. Okay. And just some of the advantages, by the way, is that, and I've got this research on my website somewhere, some post that I wrote, is that morning people tend to make more money. Morning people tend to be more productive. Morning people, this is the interesting one, tend to be healthier and live longer.
Really?
Yeah. So there's some objective, qualitative reasons why you might want to be a morning person. And I can almost hear some people saying, yeah, but I'm more productive in the evenings and I get so much done late at night. Fine. Mm-hmm. Don't you? I mean, if it's serving your life, great.
That's okay.
All I'm arguing is be intentional and choose your choices. That's all.
And for those today who want to maximize the morning hours, I mean, they see value in it. They have a hard time getting going. Today's content's really for you to help you learn how to make the most of those quiet hours in the morning.
That's right.
And learn to love morning. So we're going to give you 9 easy steps to make that happen. Since we have 9, we need to get started. So let's go ahead and dig right into the first one.
Okay. The first one is to change your story. Okay. So we've talked about this before.
Yes.
But you can have a story in your mind that says, well, I'm just not a morning person.
Well, again, as we talked in the beginning, this is an ongoing debate. I hear this all the time. I'm not a morning person. I'm not a morning person.
Like it's some immutable fact that can't be changed.
Mm-hmm.
What if it could be changed? What if all you had to do was change your narrative and decide, you know what? Or you started saying to yourself, I'm a morning person. And it may feel phony. It may feel awkward at first. But to say to yourself, at the very least, to just stop saying to yourself, I'm not a morning person.
Yeah, just to cut that piece out of your dialogue.
That's just, it's a habit, right? Or it's maybe how you were raised, or maybe what you were allowed to get away with. But it doesn't have to be an immutable fact. So what's the story you're telling yourself? Because I promise you, none of the other 8 items that we're going to give you here, none of the 8 steps are going to help you if your story is still controlled by this narrative that you're not a morning person.
I almost wonder, and I'll just throw this out as a challenge to those who would say that, is I wonder if that whole statement, I'm not a morning person, becomes a crutch, a really convenient way to get out of accountability or responsibility. I hear writers say that a lot. Well, I'm just not a morning person. I can't get up and write. And then they never get word count, and they never get their book done, and all these other things. It becomes very much an easy way to escape the responsibility for something that they want to pursue.
Well, these stories that are disempowering can be a very easy way to hide.
Okay.
And especially hiding from doing something you need to do that takes a little courage. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't care if you don't want to be a morning person, but if you want to become a morning person, you've got to, at the very least, and at the very beginning, change your story.
Simply just challenging that thought is worth a
That's
little
right.
bit of investigation. Okay, change your story. What would be the second step?
Well, this is another item that we often encourage people to do when they're embarking upon any project or any kind of life change is to determine what's at stake. Mm-hmm. So what if you don't change? What if you don't become a morning person? What's at stake? You know, maybe nothing, right? But maybe it is that book that never gets written that dies in your heart when you mm-hmm. die because you didn't change that you're going to be a morning person. Or maybe it's that job that you could have gotten if you were willing to get up earlier and become a morning person. Or maybe it was that time with your the time with your kids, you know, that you could really invest or really be more prepared to greet the day or be more prepared to work at the office or mm-hmm. whatever it is. So what is it that's at stake for you, both good and bad? And I think to literally identify those items is a very helpful exercise.
What makes you invested?
That's right.
You know what, when you know what is at stake, you feel more connected with the process and what may or may not need to happen to get there.
Yeah, and so like even for me, when I wake up in the morning, one of the first things that I do is go for a run or I go to the gym and work mm-hmm. out. And you know, when I'm kind of groggy, and especially when I first started, it was like, can I just, you know, hit the snooze button, roll over and go to sleep? But if I know what's at stake, you know, that it's my fitness, and I got involved in fitness when I thought I was having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And so for me, what was at stake was my health and my future and living long enough to see my grandchildren. So when I made the decision to roll over, that was a decision that didn't serve the purpose that I wanted to serve. Mm-hmm. So figuring out what's at stake is critical.
Okay, change the story. Step two, determine what's at stake. What's step three?
Step three is to plan your sleep. Okay, look, we spend a third
Just say that again. I love the sound of that.
Plan your sleep. We spend a third of our life asleep, uh-huh. if we're healthy, you know, so 8 hours, maybe a little less than a third of our time asleep. And so wouldn't it make sense that we would plan for better sleep instead of just kind of let it overtake us when we get tired or go to bed at one time one night and another time the other night. And here's the thing I know for sure. If you go to bed late, you will sleep late,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to get up early, you've got to go to bed earlier. It's that simple. You can't continue to go to bed at the same time you've been going to bed and expect to get up at a reasonable hour and become a morning person. Just not
going to
happen.
It's just not going to happen, yes.
No, so literally you have to plan. Now, I still plan for this. You know, I want to be to bed between 9 and 10 every night. 10 at the absolute outside, but I want to start getting to bed at 9. If I can mm-hmm. get to bed by 9, that's like a huge win for me. It doesn't very often happen, but it's always between 9 and 10. But that doesn't just happen. That means that I make my dinner appointments when I have dinner with other people earlier in the evening. Mm-hmm. I don't make dinner appointments for 7 o'clock. Now, by the way, our friends in Brazil and other persons where they don't eat until 9 or 10 o'clock at night, it's a totally different culture.
Yes.
Okay. But I wouldn't survive in that culture. I'm just saying. Although I love Brazil. But you've got to plan for it. And so it's making dinner appointments earlier. It's winding down your work earlier. It means that you're willing to walk away and say, you know what? I know I'm not finished, but I can do this tomorrow. And sometimes that's an act of faith.
Well, I've even, lately, I've been getting up early to write because I'm on book deadline. So I need to be in bed by 9 o'clock as well so I can wake up ready to go at 5. And for me, it's just not turning on the TV.
Yeah.
You know, I can easily get stuck there for hours and I just don't even turn it on.
Yeah.
So I head up with my book and read a book, and by 9 o'clock, I'm ready to go to sleep. So it's perfect time.
And for some people, it means, you know, turning off all the screens, not just mm-hmm. the TV, but maybe their computer or maybe even a book that they need to set down. Maybe they need to meditate. Maybe they do need to do some light stretching or something.
Mm-hmm.
But again, planning your sleep is so important. It's not just going to happen. And as we've talked about on this show many times, sleep is such a prerequisite for a healthy life. It's a prerequisite for heart health. It's a prerequisite for weight loss. It's a prerequisite for being more productive and more focused. And so if you're going to get adequate sleep, and that's really the key to being a morning person, the reason people wake up tired, and some of it may just be a change in habit, but they're not getting enough sleep.
Mm-hmm. And it takes some time to develop that pattern.
Yep.
So if you do it one night and it doesn't work, don't give up. You just have to develop the pattern.
Yep.
All right, change your story. Determine what's at stake. Step three, plan your sleep, which I love. And what is the fourth step?
So step number four is really tactical, really practical, and probably very obvious. But use an alarm. You know, I don't have to use an alarm. My guess is you probably don't use an alarm.
No, I don't use one. I've been getting up at the same time for so long, I don't have to use one.
Yeah, so you've trained yourself through the years that you can just wake up. In fact, I can't sleep. Even on the weekends when I could sleep and want to sleep, I can't sleep.
I tried so hard a couple of weeks ago to sleep in on a Saturday. Wide awake at 5 a.m.
I know. My idea of sleeping in is going to maybe 6.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe.
And then I feel a little guilty. But... But yeah, so like when you're beginning and when you're trying to change a habit and you're going from being an evening person to a morning person, you may have to use an alarm. But one tip I would give is don't put the alarm next to your bed. It's too easy to just kind of, you know, reach over and hit the snooze button. So put it across the room so that it requires you to get up and walk across the room in order to turn it off.
That's good advice. I've had to do
Simple,
that before
but,
too. All
yeah.
right.
Okay.
So change your story. Determine what's at stake, plan your sleep, use an alarm. What would be the fifth step?
The fifth step is turn on all the lights, because what you want to do is simulate full daylight. What this does is it really communicates with your nervous system that it's daytime. You know, it's time to get up, and our bodies respond to light when they get it. So I literally, the first thing I do every morning, still to this day, is I turn on all the lights. So
is Gail okay with that?
Yeah, because we get it at the same time. So first thing, I turn on my light by the side of my bed. She turns the light beside her bed. Then we walk into the kitchen. We turn on all the lights in there before we make coffee or do anything else.
Okay.
But we basically want to burn the bridges. There's no retreating. There's no going back to bed.
There's no crawling back into bed.
All the lights are on now. But it does signal to your physiology that it's daytime.
Okay.
You know, it's time to be up, and it's a little bit jarring, but it will wake you up.
Okay, so far we've talked about 5 steps to learning to love mornings. We have 4 more still to come. We'll cover those in just a minute. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 proven strategies for creating more margin for the things that matter most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Today we're talking about how to become a morning person. Yes, it's possible even for those of you who can't stand the morning. There are ways for you to wake up feeling great and really tackle the day from first thing in the morning. Michael has outlined 5 different steps so far, 5 of 9. Those 5 are, first of all, you have to change your story, what you believe about yourself. Instead of calling yourself not a morning person, change what you're saying about that. Second, determine what's at stake. 3, plan your sleep. 4, use an alarm. And 5, turn on all the lights. So there's no turning back. No chance you're going to crawl back in bed at this point. The alarm has gone off. The lights are on.
Yep.
So what would be number 6?
Step number 6 is to set out your clothes the night before. The fewer decisions you have to make in the morning, the more likely you are to follow through.
This has been a big one for me.
Yeah,
right there,
me
having the clothes ready to go, there's something about that that takes me forward and keeps me from going back.
Well, I actually learned this when I wanted to begin exercising regularly, because I realized that if I got up and then I had to figure out what clothes I was going to wear to the gym and then put them on, that was just like one more point of failure where I would get derailed and wouldn't follow through on my commitment to exercise. So I started laying out my clothes the night before. So I've got my gym shoes, I've got my socks, my shirt, my pants, the whole thing. And then it's just very easy. Then I can just mindlessly put them on in the morning. I've already picked, you know, what I'm going to wear, and then I'm done.
And you really do this every day. You get up, you turn on the lights, you get dressed, you're ready to go.
Then I'm ready to go. And there's something about that too, that just mentally, when you're dressed and ready to play, you know, again, you're passing the point of no return. You're not going to go back to bed, you know, which is going to be a temptation for some people. But it is also signaling to your physiology and your psychology that, hey, you know, the day's begun. We're getting started. I'm dressed.
Such a great point, and I find that's been very effective for me as well. Okay, what would the seventh step be?
Okay, the seventh one, not everybody's going to want to do this, but for some of us, this is life and death, okay? So drink a cup of coffee.
You are not overstating that, just so you know.
It is life and death. Coffee.
I do too.
I think...
I like the smell of it.
I do too.
I love hearing it brewing.
All of that stuff becomes sort of unconscious cues for us to wake up. And obviously coffee is a stimulant, so it can actually help in the process, getting your circulation going. You and I were talking in another podcast, I think this is also true. Actually, before I do that, while the coffee's brewing, I drink a full glass of water just to rehydrate myself.
I do too.
And, you know, get my system kind of going. But then I drink a cup of coffee, and I drink it slowly. And, you know, I've really studied this.
For the record, I don't drink it quite so slow.
You don't? You suck it down?
I pound it down. You know, one cup, a second cup. But that's the difference between the number of children I have at home and how many you have at home.
Well, that's probably a fair point. Yeah. I really enjoy that coffee, though. And it really does wake me up. And I've studied coffee a lot because there were some people, that, you know, a few years ago, people were saying, well, it's bad. It causes cancer. It causes heart problems, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, then there are other studies that say, no, actually, moderation, that's good for you. I choose to believe the latter stories.
I choose to believe the same. That's the narrative I'm believing.
So coffee in moderation and a cup of coffee can really help you wake up in the morning and can help jumpstart your pursuit to be a morning person.
So you go straight from getting dressed, setting out your clothes, to going downstairs and grabbing your coffee.
That's right.
All right. I love it. What's next?
The eighth step would be to enlist an accountability partner. You know, I don't think any major change happens by ourselves.
In isolation.
Some people can do it in isolation. Some people can do it. I've never been able to. I actually ran in college, but I had a hard time getting up for that. But I had a friend, David Strickland. We made a commitment to one another that we would meet on the curb at 5 a.m. And so I would get up, and when I was too tired as a student to really stay awake, I knew that David was out on the curb waiting for me. And so I would get up and go out there because I had this accountability partner.
And the irony is he knew you were out there, or
That's
believed
right.
it, so you both were accountable.
We had another situation where another friend of mine, Mark DeVries, and I were in Greek class together.
Okay.
And it was a struggle, especially as we got into the upper levels of Greek. I ended up taking about 5 semesters of Greek, believe it or not. And so—
Who knew?
Who knew?
I had no idea.
I never use it, but you know, it was helpful at the time. But we would also get up and call each other at 5 a.m. This was a different period of my life, but we'd call each other to make sure the other one was up and we were studying Greek because it was important for us to succeed. So we enlisted an accountability partner. Now for fitness, Gail's my accountability partner. So we go to the gym together every morning, 5 days a week. And that's helpful too. But I think in this situation, maybe there's somebody else that's trying to become a morning person, or somebody that already is a morning person that can hold you accountable. And if you're willing to be humble enough and submit yourself to that accountability, it will rapidly allow you to change. I think the greatest change happens when you do it with accountability. That's why I believe in coaching.
Yes.
That's why I believe in mastermind groups. That kind of accountability can really help the process.
Well, I'm doing that very thing right now. As you know, I've been very ill for the last several months, and I'm on book deadline at the same time, so I needed to get into a writing routine. So one of my very good friends by the name of Kathy Lipp and I decided to hold each other accountable for getting up early and writing. So every morning but Sunday, we get up and text each other that we're awake. So when I'm up at 5:30, text her, I'm up, I'm getting ready to write.
Fabulous.
And we both commit to 1,000 words. And when we hit 1,000, we text each other and say, I just hit 1,000.
What time is that usually by the time you hit 1,000?
It depends on the day. There are some days I can do 1,000 words in an hour, and some days where it's like 10 a.m. before I have 1,000 words.
I know.
Totally depends. But I know she's waiting for my text message saying that I hit that goal. And so it causes me to get right into my morning regime, dive right into my writing, because I know she's waiting. That accountability has made a huge difference.
It's like leverage. It gives you the leverage you need to jump to the next level.
And she would say the same, where she's accomplished so much more. All right, so enlist an accountability partner, which requires a certain level of courage, but it actually helps you follow through. What's the final step to learning to enjoy the mornings?
Commit to 6 weeks.
Okay.
I used to say 21 days because kind of the popular thing was that you could change a habit in 21 days, but there's been a lot of research into habits. And all the research I've read says you can't really change a habit in 21 days. It really takes more like 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there's some other conditions as well. But I say just give yourself a chance. Don't like, you know, wake up one morning and go, I'd rather die.
You may feel that way.
And you may feel that way and not give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Or do it for a week and get overconfident and think I've got this. But really commit to 6 weeks. Most of the stuff I do in my life, I do experimentally. You know, in other words, I commit to an experiment. I'm going to test this and see if it works for me. Because, you know, maybe the mornings don't best serve you. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. But give it an honest shake and see if it makes a difference. And I've had a lot of people write to me after they've heard me talk about this that have said, where have I been all my life? Mm-hmm. I can't believe I slept through this amazing time when I got a jump start on my day. When I got really focused, this became their power hour to really set their day up for success.
All right. So we have walked through 9 different steps to learning to love the morning, to become a morning person. They are, just to recap, change your story. 2, determine what's at stake. 3, plan your sleep. 4, use an alarm. 5, turn on all the lights when you get up so there's no chance you can retreat back to bed. 6, set out your clothes the night before so you can get dressed right when you get up. 7, drink a cup of coffee. 8, enlist an accountability partner. 9, commit to 6 weeks. Just make that commitment, see it through, and it just might change your story. Now, I have a couple additional questions at the end, because I can almost hear some people asking this, because I've asked it. What about those people with small children? Do you have any advice for them as far as learning to be a morning person when you are juggling a bunch of children with different bedtimes and school schedules and all of that?
Yeah, you may be able to answer this better than I. But you know, it seems like you have to be a morning person if you're gonna have small kids. Mm-hmm. Because the kids are up, they gotta get ready for school and all the rest. The only question is, are you gonna get up earlier than they are so that you've got some time for self-care and all mm-hmm. of that? And the one thing I do remember back in the day when I had a lot of kids, younger kids at home, is that it was a different season than I'm in now. Mm-hmm. You know, if I could get, I remember making this objective, 7 minutes for a quiet time. A 7 minute quiet time. Yes. If I could just get up and have 7 minutes to myself, and I literally timed it, 7 minutes. I was gonna read a little bit of the Bible, pray a little bit, and then that was all the preparation I could do. Now I spend an hour doing that, mm-hmm. but I'm in a different season.
Yes.
So you've gotta take account of the season that you're in, but I can't imagine a mother of young children sleeping in and being a night person.
Well, and I think some of the trick is, it really goes back to what you said as far as the third step, planning your sleep. And planning your sleep also involves planning their sleep. And so for me, it's very important. Now, I've had 2 different phases of parenting. I raised 3 boys, then started over again raising 3 more. And I'm doing it a little bit different this time. But one thing that's very important to my husband and I is making sure our kids go to bed at a good time so we can go to bed at a good time. The only way for all of us to wake up in the morning ready to go is if we all get our sleep. So part of being that morning person that's ready to wake up and embrace the day is making sure everybody is getting to bed at good times the night before.
Yeah, very good point. Okay.
And then the other motivation for me is having time alone before the kids wake up.
Yeah.
So that part has helped me be a little bit more motivated to waking up before they do, so I enjoy that quiet.
So you're getting up at 5:30. What time do you get them up?
7:30.
Okay.
So I write for an hour, and then I usually have some kind of quiet time for about an hour. And then when I get up, we go right into breakfast and lunches and all that fun stuff.
Then the day's off to the races.
Then, yes. Yeah. And then by 10, I'm exhausted. But we've had a really good start.
Or nap.
Exactly. How about those people who live with somebody who's a night owl? Let's say there's someone who's listening right now that's a college student. So they're in a dorm where they're surrounded by people that are up all night. What suggestions do you have for them?
Well, it's interesting. First of all, you certainly don't have control of other people, but you might be able to have a conversation with them. You might even, if you're a leader, be able to influence them and sell this whole concept of what would our lives look like if we all decided in this dorm room to become morning people. And if the other person is unwilling to do that, then maybe you can negotiate something so that at least you can get to sleep and they can be quiet, or they can be in their part of the room, or you can turn the lights down low or something, you know, that enables you to go to sleep. I've been in situations before where I've had to wear earplugs, you know, or have some kind of white noise generation in my earphones. And that can work. Even some, I think you can get them at Walgreens still, you know, like things like you wear for a beauty sleep, or you wear on the airplane.
The eye dark. The blackout. I wear them every night. Yeah. It's like the best $10 I've ever spent.
I carry them with me everywhere. And when I'm traveling.
I do too.
Yeah. Same thing.
And I sleep so much better with having those on. How about somebody who's married to, let's say a man who's married to a woman who stays up late? Do you have, I know you and Gail have the same schedule, but there's a lot of people that have different schedules. Any ideas for them?
Yeah, the reason we have the same schedules is because we talked about it.
Okay.
And we realized that it was important to be aligned on this. It's important to go to bed together, and it's important to get up together. And we felt like the reason for that was because we just want to be in sync, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's not that healthy of a thing when you're going to bed at different times. You know, there's some things that require both parties to be in the bed at the same time, if you know what I'm saying.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
To, you know, to talk that through and just make a decision. And we love doing things together. Yeah. You know, she is my best friend. She's my accountability partner. Yeah. And you know, even if that, and I'm just thinking of somebody that's maybe not in that situation, but I think to have that discussion.
At least a conversation.
Yeah, and say, and again, frame it as an experiment, you know, or let's just try this. Like what about, you know, talking to your spouse that's a night owl and saying, hey, I've been doing some research into this. I was listening to this crazy guy, Michael Hyatt, and his even crazier co-host, Michelle Pichette. And they were talking about the value of being a morning person. Uh-huh. I wonder if you'd be willing. You know, I think there's some real merit here. If you'd be willing to try this with me for the next 6 weeks, if it doesn't work for us, you know, we can go back to what we're doing. But what would it make possible? That's the question I would ask. What would it make possible if we went to bed at the same time and we got up early and we pursued this project together?
And then maybe even get their buy-in for that 6 week. Try it. You know, try it out for six
That's
weeks
right.
to see how it works.
Yep.
No harm, no foul. If it doesn't work out,
I sell everything to my staff, to my family on the. Let's just try it.
And they're so happy about that.
But then they get sucked in. And
yes, exactly. Well, today we've been talking about how you can become a morning person regardless of where you land in that debate. It is possible to wake up a little bit more engaged, a little bit more ready to tackle the day. And we've given you 9 steps to make that happen. Well, if you've enjoyed today's episode, you can find a full transcript as well as the show notes at michaelhyatt.com. In addition, if you'd rather watch and just listen, you can find the video at his website as well. Do us a favor, however, before you go, take just a few seconds to head over to iTunes and rate this podcast. It's a key way to get this podcast higher in the ranks, which means it's more visible, more accessible to those people who truly need that content. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. But do you have any other thoughts or comments or insights before we go?
No, I would just say that, you know, I think being a morning person has been a key component of my success. You know, it's allowed me to be proactive and intentional about my day. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I got up later, you know, earlier in my career, I felt like the day was kind of already gone, you know, that it was, I'd kind of missed the train, so to speak. And I like having control. I like taking the initiative and being intentional.
I'm with you. Absolutely. Well, thank you again for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.